Bob Kessling, he is the voice of the number one ranked men's basketball team in the world, or at least in the top, in the Associated Press. Bob Kessling, good morning, Bob.
Hey, guys, how are you? It's got a pretty good ring to it, doesn't it?
That's how I introduced it to it. And at the very end of this, because we led our newscast, show you what we're into. We have the UT number one ranking, Titans hire an offensive coordinator, Predators, Peter LaViolette win number 600, big win in Colorado yesterday afternoon. But we led the show with Sonny Gray being traded from the Yankees to your Reds. So we're going to talk about on the back end about that, okay?
Okay, all right, that's good. That's good news, too.
Yeah, and we've obviously seen Sonny grow up here and just think of the world of him and his family, but hey, number one in the country, and the irony is last time the team was number one, they played at Vanderbilt, but different situation, obviously, coming off an emotional game at Memphis that year. And then Vanderbilt is a lot better than this Vanderbilt team is right now. But let's talk the Vols. They're awful good. I know that's a really simple statement, but, man, they're good. Their depth, they're getting good guard play now, great guard play, and they're just so well-balanced.
Well, you know, Greg, you go back and you look at the good teams down through the history of college basketball, and most of them are veteran teams. I mean, most of them are teams like Villanova the last couple of years. I mean, they've been so good because they've played together for so long. Most of the Michigan State teams stay together for a long time. So this is kind of the way Rick Barnes wanted to build it. He wanted to go out and find the right pieces, put them together, let them grow up together, establish the culture, and it's been pretty amazing. I mean, the core of their guys have started, you know, almost 70, 80 games. You know, a couple of them, Schofield and Alexander, have started over 80 games at Tennessee, and that's pretty impressive. And so they know how to play. They like each other. I think that's a key to this thing. It's a great locker room. The chemistry is great. Schofield and Bone and Alex and Alexander is another guy, and Grant Williams, they're the hardest working guys on the team, and they stay after practice almost every single day to work on specific things. They're learning better and better with every game how to handle scouting reports because they've handled so many of them. So there's not much you can throw at this team that they haven't seen and they haven't been able to react to. They've got a lot of counters to anything you want to do. If you want to go small, they can go small. You want to play big, they can play big. You want to play fast, they can go fast. I mean, it's really amazing. And I think the one thing, too, that it's really good about them is they lead the nation in assists, and their assist turnover ratio is right at their two. They only turn the ball over 11 times. They have shot over 50% from the floor 13 times this year. And, you know, last year the Tennessee won the SEC championship, and for the whole season they only shot 44% as a team and only over 50% 11 times. So this Tennessee team has already shot, you know, more than that. So, and when you're shooting that much, that lets you know that you're getting a lot of layups and you're getting a lot of easy looks, and then you're knocking down outside shots. So there's a lot of good things to like about this team.
Voice of the Balls, Bob Kessling, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock at Memorial Gym, Vanderbilt. It's a national TV on ESPN2.
Hey, Bob, Joe here. I was looking at last night. Somebody tweeted out that the Vols are doing this without a player on the team that was ranked in the top 100 coming out of high school. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. I guess Jordan Bone was, you know, pretty highly regarded, but I'm not sure he was a top 100. You know that Schofield and Grant Williams weren't. I mean, Kyle Alexander was a soccer player up in Canada when they found him. So I don't think he was. I know Jordan Bowden was. You know, Rick tells a great story about Bowden is that his mom actually, when Rick, you know, took over the job, his mom actually came to their office and said, "How come you're not recruiting my son?" And they said, "Well, who's your son?" "It's Jordan Bowden." "Oh, yeah, a kid at Carter." "Yeah, well, you know, well, go look, you know." And so they went to see him. They liked him, and then they signed him. So it hadn't been for Jordan's mom. And who knows where Bowden would be. But that's just kind of, you know, Rick has always been known as a pretty good teacher of basketball. And so he has taken these guys and told them, this is the blueprint, and this is where you're going to go. And if you achieve it and you work hard, we can get there. So and it's amazing how they've rallied behind him. And you know, he's not easy on him. He's tough on him. And still, to this day, if you go to practice and Bone or Grant Williams or Admiral Schofield, they commit a turnover, they're running stadium steps. Ugh. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so they've learned through that to value the basketball. And when you take care of the ball, you play defense, you hit open shots, and you force teams into mistakes, pretty good formula.
You know, it's funny because one of the knocks on him when he got let go at Texas was he couldn't develop talent. And I'm looking at this basketball team now where he's developed talent really well to the number one team in the land. It's just funny how people perceive things, and he's doing such a great job there in Knoxville.
Well, you know, he had talent at Texas. I think the knock on him, I mean, he went to the NCAA tournament, you know, almost every year. It was only 1 or 2 years I think he missed out at Texas. I think the knock that they had at Texas was that he couldn't get them back to the Final Four. And then when the new athletic director came in, they kind of got sideways because the new AD had his ways of running the program, and nobody's going to tell Rick how to run his program. And so, you know, it's amazing how that developed so quickly, and suddenly Tennessee's got an opening, and Rick Barnes is available, and Dave Hart and Rick kind of knew each other from, you know, from the back history, and Dave Hart brings him to Knoxville. Rick stays at Dave Hart's house, and they stays until they hammer out the deal. And it was amazing. Everybody in town, all the media was running around looking. They knew, I think, that Rick Barnes was in town, so they're checking all the hotels, and he's staying out at, you know, in the Dave Hart's bonus room so they can get this thing worked out. So it's just been a really great story. You know, and the other thing is so much fun now. The arena's jammed every game, and the fans really love this team. And I think they love this team because of the fact that they play so well. They're so fundamentally sound. They're so well coached. It's just a pleasure to watch them play.
Bob Kessler with us, voice of the Vols. And, you know, this team came into the preseason, obviously, with what it did last year, a lot of expectations. I believe preseason number 6 in the country, spent 6 weeks at number 3 before Duke lost to Syracuse, and then Michigan lost as well to Wisconsin, so it sort of fell into place for that number 1. But I've never seen a team that highly ranked. They've not been out of the top 10 all year long, just the one loss, that plays with a chip on its shoulder. Usually, by the time you get to that, you're playing with confidence and everything. It just feels like this team still feels slighted. Am I on to something?
Yeah, I think you are. And I think it stems back to last year when they were picked 13th in the SEC. I think that's still stuck in their craw. These, as you mentioned, these are guys that were not highly recruited. I think that's a chip on their shoulder. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that, you know, if Grant Williams was 6'8 or 6'9, he'd probably be playing at North Carolina or Duke, but he's not. And now so he gets passed over. And I think he's got a lot to prove. And I still think he's got a lot to prove. I think when Admiral Schofield went to the NBA camps and they kind of said, well, you know, you need to do this, this, and this, you're not ready, I think that lit a fire under him. So, Rick Barnes has been on Jordan Bone so hard coaching him that I think Jordan's now finally getting a grasp of what Rick's talking about. And his assist turnover issue is off the chart. And that's the other thing that you look at this, you look at their stats, and I think this is right, and it's close if not right, but there are 9 guys on the team that have a positive assist to turnover ratio. Ooh. You don't see that very often. And one of the only guys that doesn't is Kyle Alexander, because you don't want him to have assists. You want him to score. And Grant Williams' assist turnover ratio was tremendous. So was Bowden and Bones and Admiral Schofield. They really share the ball, and so they don't really they're not concerned about who gets the credit, who's scoring all the points, and they just want to win. And they're such a hard matchup. I mean, a bunch of SEC coaches have told me they're just a nightmare to prepare. If you don't double-team Grant Williams, he's going to score around the basket or get your big guy in foul trouble. If you double-team him, then you flip it out to Bowden or Bone or Lamonte Turner, and they're going to hit an open 3. So, and if you guard the 3, then they're going to dump it down low again to Schofield on the block. So how do you defend it? I mean, it's just when they're playing at this high level, it's just really, really difficult to defend it. And so far, nobody's had much success doing it.
Bob, every Saturday morning on this radio station for quite some time now, I do a thing called 101 with Greg Pogue. 9 o'clock, we do it down at the Bongo Java Coffee Shop, just a great place in Omni Hotel. And my guest this past Saturday was the voice of the Mississippi State Bulldogs, our friend Neil Price. They were in town to play Vanderbilt that night. And he was just talking, of course, a few years at MTSU. I think, I don't know, maybe 10, 11, 12 years at Kentucky doing women and baseball. And talking about getting the job, this is his second year at Mississippi State, and your influence and your impact on him. Here's what Neil had to say.
Bob Kessling is probably the person who's had the biggest influence on my career, because from the time I was about 20 years old, he took an interest in me, and he helped me every step of the way. I wouldn't have gotten the job at Kentucky had it not been for Bob Kessling, Glenn Thaxton, Steve Early in Knoxville. I'm convinced of that. And what experience I had at Middle, obviously. Those guys made calls. Their word was good. Their reputation was established, and the people in Lexington knew them and trusted them. But every time that I've had any kind of big professional decision that I've had to make, one of the first calls is always Bob Kessling. Always. And I'm so happy for him that he's put a long career together in Knoxville, 20 years now, which is still hard for me to wrap my mind around because it feels like it was yesterday.
And following a legend.
Yeah. And really dealing with a lot of unfair criticism because he's not John Ward. The only reason he gets criticized is because he's not John Ward. He's handled that with a lot of grace, and that's not easy, you know. But yeah, I think the world of Bob. And when I got the job at State, I don't call him unless it's really important. Usually we communicate through email or text messages, but it's because life, you know, there's a lot going on. But when I got hired at State, I called Mom and Dad first. Obviously my wife knew, she was there. I called Mom and Dad, and he was the first person I called after. And I got his answer machine in his office, voicemail. And I said, "Hey, I'm not going to leave you a message telling you this, but I need you to call me back. I got something I need to tell you." And the phone rings like 10 minutes later, and he said, "Is it what I think it is?" And I said, "Yeah, we did it. You know, we did it," because he coached me all the way. And the first thing that he did after I got the job, he said, "Come to Knoxville." He said, "We're going to put some football games up on a monitor in the TV studio downstairs, and we're going to sit there all morning." And he said, "We're going to go through this to make sure that you've got everything you need. You're equipped the best you can be to be successful doing this." And we sat there and just went through time, score, down, distance. And we did Tennessee football games off a monitor. And he did color with me and kind of helped me get going. So I owe Bob everything. I mean, all I can say is he's great. If he's one of the four people I could point to and say, these are the four people, if you had a Mount Rushmore, these are the four people that would be on it, he would be right there at the front of the list.
Bob, I thought you'd like to hear that.
Wow, that's very nice. Neil is, I'll take you back a little bit further. Neil, we had a broadcast camp here for a while, and we've had a lot of great people come through. Courtney Lyle, who's there from Brentwood, you know, she came through it. She was on she joined us on VFL Films, and now she's doing games for ESPN, and we got guys scattered all over the country that came out of that camp that are now working in the business. But, you know, Neil was at Morristown High School, Morristown West, I think it was, high school. And, you know, but you could tell he was eating up with it. And so I had John Ward come in and be one of the guest lecturers. And Neil was just, of course, he just thought that was unbelievable. And so he was sitting there taking notes and all this kind of stuff. And so when John was struggling and toward the end of the rope there, I took Neil with me and we went over to see John, and Neil explained to him what a motivating guy that John was for him, and had the notes and everything that he had taken when John spoke at our class, and he kept those notes and he used them as reference on all those type things. So, and you could just see the smile on John's face, because John really, he took a lot of pride when his guys, you know, guys like Mike Keith and me and now Neil and some of these other guys have advanced and done something in this business. And that was a really special morning for Neil and myself when we went over there and just saw John smile and really appreciate the accomplishments Neil had. You know, there's only 14 of these SEC jobs, and Neil's got one of them, so that's pretty special.
Yeah. Bob, we're not even going to be able to talk about the Reds, and that doesn't break my heart because I don't like the Reds. We got to run, man.
Okay.
Hey, we'll catch up with you. Thank you, Bob.
Hey, guys. Thanks.